Well, this is
Jackson Merrill.
That's All-Star Jackson Merrill to you. This is why we are the San Diego Soft Media. Our buddy Adio Royster, who lives in Philly, Padres fan, says, can I just say the way you talk about you two and the chat is not how it would play on Philly radio, which is why I freaking love this team, its fans, and its sports guys and gals. Yeah, I take that as a huge compliment because at the end of the day, while we all bleed it, and we live it, and we die it, and we plan our days around it, we plan our lives around it, we plan our finances around it, we spend fortunes to watch and root for this team. At the end of the day, it's just a game. It's just entertainment.
Yo, call me when you get your phone!
Freaking Philly. I mean, do you really think if one of their guys went on the restricted list for a personal matter, that they would roast him? Would they? Or there are actual people like that. We know that. And is it real or is it a bit? Be like, I have to play to the Philly fans and I can't get on the air and be like, hey, we love you, Darvish. We hope everything works out for him. I
can't wrap my head around
that. I can't
that,
either,
man.
That's just not how I'm wired. That's not how I roll. I am sympathetic and empathetic to all of that. They are human beings. And I forget it like the next guy. Like, some of the things I say in the moment when I'm watching, you know, Bryce Johnson hit in a big moment, is not how I really am and how I really feel, right? He's probably a great kid with a great family. He's a little overmatched, okay? It happens. Like, it's not the end of the world. It's a very difficult game. But you know, when it comes to you, Darvish, man, you want to talk about a guy with skins on the wall who's earned it, who's a kind, excellent human being. That's the one. You know, there's guys I take all the time you need, bro. Just get your head right, whatever it is, and come on back. And
he's one of the best pitchers to put on a Padres uniform of all time.
No question. He's one of the best pitchers of my generation. Okay. Certainly, man. He's incredible. So
the man loves being a Padre. I get that sense.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
100%.
Big time.
He loves the community. Like, he's earned it.
Yeah, he's earned it.
He has absolutely earned it. And he's a dog. He wants the ball.
100%.
He wants to be back out there as soon as possible.
You know, that's just not something I'm going to do is come on here and really speculate. I saw so much awful stuff yesterday about it and just kind of made me mad and sad. But listen, you, Darvish, take all the time you need. And, in the meantime, you, Darvish, and you, Darvish alone was not going to fix the pitching woes for the San Diego Padres. And, you know, we were just talking about how the bullpen really was roughed up. And you know, with the injury to Joe Musgrove and with you being out now, yeah, man, you got three starting pitchers for five spots, essentially, and you're having to move things around. You do have some off days, but you're also counting on Adam Mazur to come out and give innings. Now, you said Schilt was, yeah, we're still kind of thinking about what we're going to do. All right, fine. But, I mean, everyone's saying, you know, we need to DFA this guy and DFA this guy and DFA this guy, and we got to call this guy up. I just don't know who's knocking on the door ready to roll, you know, right now. And that's something that is way above my pay grade, but it's A.J. Preller's job, and he's the one that's got to figure it out. You would hate to waste, you know, the magic that we're seeing out of this team. Again, they're finally the team that we've been wanting to see. And again, I know the record doesn't necessarily indicate dominance, but oh my God, is there anybody out there that can honestly say, I don't know. They're not that good. Man, they're so much fun. They play so hard. They never quit. I mean, it's tough for me to stomach that.
I'm trying to remember exactly what happened. This happened with, like, a year, maybe last year, maybe 2 years ago, the Seattle Mariners. I think we had Softy, our buddy up from Seattle, on the show, because there was outrage from the players. Like, they went to the media and they said they were so mad at the front office. Do you remember this?
I do.
They didn't make a trade.
I think it was Cal Raleigh or something. And was like
they didn't go out and acquire the talent. And they were very similar to this Padres team. They were above expectations. They were in a playoff spot, but they needed some reinforcements for sure. You could read the writing on the wall. Yeah. Like, they needed another arm.
Well,
and the front office didn't go out. They didn't believe in that group of players, and the players were pissed.
And it was the Rangers, their division rival, who did go out and make a bunch of moves, and they were so hot about it. And, I just That's you can't have that. You can't have it. You're going to run out of time. So I understand also that AJ Preller over the years has painted himself into this kind of corner of continuing to acquire, trade prospects for.
Morning, guys.
And it's like, I don't want to get on here and be like, no, trust me. This time it's going to work. I realize how that sounds. I do. I'm not a moron. And I feel hesitant to even say it. But I feel it, and I know a lot of Padre fans feel it too. You know what I mean? I just, that's how I feel. They're so fun to watch. They're grinding hard. They're playing hurt. They're really, really playing together. So, yeah, you'd hate to let this one go by. We got anybody on the line, Paulie?
Yeah, we got a couple calls.
All right,
here.
Let's talk some Padres.
With, how about Robert, I believe. Robert, you're on the air.
Robert, good morning, my friend.
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
Doing well. What's up, man? How about you?
Doing rather well, but I just want to know, how long do you think you will take his leave of absence?
You know, we were talking about it. I really don't know. It's up in the air. But again, one thing I can promise you about you, Darvish, I promise you, and I don't think I'll have to eat my words here, he's not going to disappear. Whatever he's going through right now, he's going to let the Padres know one way or the other if he's available to pitch. Mm-hmm. And available to come back and be 100% committed to the team. I don't know what the issue is. It's really hard for me to speak on it because I don't know what's going on. Like I said, I've seen speculation. It's all speculation until he confirms it or the Padres confirm it. And we may never know exactly what's going on with you, Darvish, but
I mean, all we have is like what Kevin Acey wrote. We just read it in our last segment. Yep. If you missed it, though, you know, it's basically like there's a possibility that he doesn't return this season.
Correct.
Like, they just aren't saying anything. They're not saying how long it could be, what's going on, where he's even at, if he's here, if he's in Japan. Like, nothing. And that's fine. It's not on us to – we don't deserve to know that information.
Yeah.
But he will let the team know so that they can plan. And they said they're going to give him a couple weeks because they need to know before July 30th. Are we going after one pitcher? Two pitchers?
Yeah, four pitchers.
Maybe three?
Yeah.
Four? Like,
a couple bullpen guys.
Here is what Mike Schilt said. This was before Saturday's game over the weekend. Just making the announcement. You can take it for what he said.
All right, so Hugh's going to step away from the team a little while. He's going to go on the restricted list. He's dealing with a personal matter involving his family. You know, clearly we want to respect his privacy. He wants to make sure everybody knows, you know, he's physically in a good spot. He's still working on his craft. But he is going to step away for right now and deal with some things on a personal level. And we're going to love and support him. He's part of the Padre family. But at the moment, he's going to take a break from the team.
Is that a definite timeline, Mike?
The restricted list is indefinite. So you can, you know, we have no timeline on it. The primary thing we want to do is just making sure you feels loved and supported by his Padre family.
Yeah, I mean, and that's it. That's all we know. Is what's his name? Robert? Is he still on the line?
No, we dropped him.
All right, I was going to qualify him, but
well, fine. Maybe Luis can qualify.
Hey guys,
what's up, Luis?
Yeah, we got you, buddy.
Hey man, check it out. I just want to say, man, really quick, you Darvish is probably the only guy, one of the only guys who deserves as much time as he needs.
Yep.
For whatever reason he's going through, whatever it is. We just need to say, you get well, get better, get right. We got you. We got you. We love you. Man, whenever you come back, good for us. Get well, buddy. That's it, man. All this stuff that I was reading, like you said, Woody, was just garbage. Was just garbage. And I want you to be well. I want you to come back to us, you know, as soon as possible, of course, but he needs to take his time. Whatever it is, take your time. You, that's all I've got, man. Thanks, guys.
Stay on the line, bro. We're going to qualify you for the Take on Woods prize. We would normally do Take on Woods here. And that would normally be brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. We'll qualify you for the two-night getaway to Rio, Las Vegas. How about that? So stay on the line, Luis. No, I think that's, you know, Padre fans, for the most part, they get it. They're understanding. They understand that this is just one of those things that happens throughout the course of the season. He's not the first person that this has happened to. He won't be the last. So in the meantime, though, you do have to find guys that can go out and get outs as well. And that's a challenge. It's a challenge. And the market right now, there's so many teams that are in it right now in the NL. The price for any pitcher is just going to be sky high. And we were talking about it yesterday in the dugout of the Tier 1 baseball team. Like, who do you get? Who can you get? You got to shore up the bullpen. And I'm like, well, listen, there's a couple of teams. There was an announcement made this morning, essentially, that barring some miraculous run, the Texas Rangers are going to be, we talked about this
open
last week.
Business.
They're basically open for biz.
And Andrew Haney, Max yep. Scherzer, I mean,
old friend,
a lot of arms.
Old friend Kirby Yates as well. I mean, they're really five or six guys that they're going to make available. I mean, I guess that's a year. It's probably easier to do a year after winning a World Series. But you know what? Like, it's probably easier to stomach for the fan base. You just won a World Series. It's also a bummer. Like, oh, I thought we were going to continue
trying
to build a little something here. But that's how you do it, man. If you can assess where you're at, and this is what's gotten us in trouble here.
Well, and look, they can sell some pieces and still have
yeah.
a hell of a core
oh, yeah.
for next year. And you restock.
They've got a really good core there as well. And it's just kind of it's a bummer to the guys in that clubhouse. The guys like Corey Seager, Marcus Semien, guys like that are like, oh, we're going to do the old sell, but also like keep our core intact and try to win. And really, it's the smart
like,
thing to do.
That's selling without a fire sale.
I think there's a couple of seasons that have gone by in A.J. Preller's tenure where you could look at it and say, probably should have done this, probably should have done that. Can't do anything about it now, right? But, you know, last year, knowing what we know, yeah, man, being able to get rid of Hader and Snell for a premium would have really, really potentially set this team up for the future. Maybe. I mean, you never know. You never know what you would have gotten back. But it was probably the smart move. We didn't because we had a huge payroll committed to winning. So I really can't fault AJ for that.
Dug in.
Yeah, dug in. And they're now you took $92 million off the top. And now you have a team that's playing way better and way better baseball, way more entertaining, way more together than that team last year. Now you're in a pickle going, oh, God, now I have to reward these, or I want to reward these guys. Do I have the prospect capital to do it? And that's going to be the most interesting thing
MLB
that we'll
Network,
see.
We got it on in the studio. They just went to break, but they were talking about Scooble from Detroit.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy is maybe the best pitcher in baseball right now.
He's
one
up there.
Of them.
Yep.
And he very well could be available, but I I don't know. AJ Preller's done, he's moved mountains before with trades. Maybe he could get it done, but it feels like that would cost an Ethan Salas or a DeVries at least. One of those two are for sure going to have to be included in that package. Do you do that for 3 years of control?
Don't ask me this. You can't do both.
He's getting paid $2.5 million this year.
Nothing. He's got 3 more years.
He's got 2 years of arb, and then becomes a free agent.
Yeah. No, I know. I know, man. It is. It's what AJ Preller is probably sitting up at night thinking about. What do I need to do? What could I fleece them for? You're going to need whatever moves you make. You're going to have to. There's going to have to be a little fleecing involved, in my opinion. I mean, you know, people are wise to what the Padres need. They're wise to what the Padres want,
right.
But they're really wise to what the Padres have. Or don't have. And of course, the first thing is, all right, yeah, we'll do that for Salas and DeVries. All right, maybe one of them. Gonna need both.
If AJ can figure out how to get him over here and not give up either of those guys, that's the fleece.
You build the statue
I
at
mean,
that point.
But that's, it's just, that's like trading for Luis Arraez and making the Marlins pay for it all.
He's going to cost everything. He's going to cost everything you've got. So, so we'll see how the trade deadline plays out. We got spring training Sammy coming up at 7:35, and then the great Tim Flannery will be in at 8. Tell some baseball stories, talk about it all. But listen, we got Don't Do This coming up next. And, man, I will tell you, this was really interesting story that broke on Friday. I followed it pretty closely. San Diego soccer right now is certainly a hotbed of activity, and it's not all good news right now. We're going to tell you everything that's going on with the Wave that is just pretty gnarly to read. And we'll do that next on Don't Do This. We'll be right back. It's Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Oh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sereno Valley. The Kraft Taco has some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thecrafttaco.com. Take a look at their happy hour specials today. Thecrafttaco.com. I can give you two portly thumbs up on the Kraft Taco. It is delicious. So, yeah, I said Friday because Wednesday was our Friday. So that's why I keep saying, oh, this came out on Friday. No, it was actually Wednesday. I think Annie and Braden talked about it a little bit on their show, but I did see an email come out, or a tweet come out from a young lady named Brittany Alvarado, and it was in regards to her treatment when she worked at the Wave. And it was pretty tough to read, you know, talking about her commitment to the team. She moved cross country, and essentially things went bad, right? As things sometimes do. But she said, since the team's inception, over 30 employees have been fired or quit, with nearly 75% of them being women, underscoring the deep issues within the club. Many of these employees are hesitant to speak publicly about their experiences, reflecting the widespread fear surrounding these issues. And so, you know, she names the president, Jill Ellis, by name in her tweet. And the interesting thing to me was she also included an email that allegedly came from a high-ranking official at the Wave. Now, that email has been proven to be sent by somebody else outside the organization from a Hotmail account that was they were masquerading as somebody inside the building, essentially. And it was really mean and said, you know, you deserve to be out of here and whatever.
You're pathetic.
Yeah, you're pathetic. So, but it wasn't just that. It was more... more women speaking up. There was another young lady, Bernadette O'Donnell, said, look, this is all I can say, but please know that NWSL employees deserve protection and safety. We deserve to be believed. She talks again about moving for her dream job, her mental health. She opened up to her boss about her mental health concerns, and it was a very unhealthy work environment, and you know, ended up not being employed there after 3 days after doing that. And, you know, it's funny, man, as somebody that has talked openly about my struggles with mental health, I'm very thankful that Adam and Odyssey and you guys and everybody, the audience, you know, it's to have that support, to know I have that support feels spectacular. The Wave, though, what kind of made the hair on the back of my neck stand up is when I saw their response,
their statement
came out pretty soon after her tweet. It said, San Diego Wave FC has been made of a recent social media post by a former employee, contains inaccurate and defamatory statements about the club. Not only does the post contain a fabricated email, but the claims made therein are categorically false, including the ones directed at our president, Jill Ellis. We're currently reviewing this situation. We intend to pursue all legal avenues available to appropriately address this matter. And I thought to myself, man, whether that email's real or fake, you know, you have several people talking about a toxic culture. And I thought, you just did a little bit of unraveling of some goodwill maybe that you had in the community. Not to say that they can't right the ship and get things fixed and everything else, but so many women were tweeting about...
There's certainly a different path they could have taken
There's a different path, and I think...
You could have said something like, we strive to
strive
a comfortable
to, correct.
Environment for all of our employees. These are serious allegations. We're looking into
it. We're not taking it lightly. There was an investigation last year, I guess, at the Wave and some of their front office practices, and I guess they were cleared in that investigation. So, but again... It's tough, man, and if you've ever worked in a toxic work environment, and I certainly have, it eats at you. It eats at your soul. I worked in one of the most toxic places on the planet, and it almost killed me. I mean, it was where you get up in the morning, and you have to physically drag yourself to the shower. And it wasn't because, oh, the job's hard, I got to make a bunch of phone calls. It was, no, the people that I worked with, my bosses would call you all kinds of slurs and stuff if you didn't do this or that. And it's just like, holy smokes, man. And you try to be, you know, macho and grind through it. There's just no place for it, man. There's just no reason. It doesn't have to be that way. You know, and the other thing that bugged me is I saw Alex Morgan come out, and she crafted a really beautiful tweet, and people were ragging on her that she needs to do more. And you know what? She's an employee of the Wave. It's not the employee's job to take shrapnel for the employer, ever. It's not my job to take shrapnel for Odyssey. In fact, it's the other way around. You know what I mean? It's not my job to come in and defend, if there's bad behavior, to defend that. So, really interesting story that came out. You know, people are trying to get to the bottom of it. And it just, it really, really blew up over the weekend. So, again, to the women that were affected by it, I'm glad you're still here. You know, many of them were talking about, you know, they didn't want to live anymore after that. That's how toxic it was for them. So, I'm glad you're still here. I'm glad you spoke out. And hopefully they can get in and clean it up. You know, that's what people are asking for. Accountability and clean up your side of the street. That's really it.
But we'll move on. Rough weekend for one Colton Brewer, right-handed reliever for the Chicago Cubs. He entered Saturday's game in relief, and it did not go well for him. He got two outs and then was pulled. He was charged with three runs. Only one of them were earned, two hits, two walks, and he hit a guy.
Yeah, and great day at the ballpark.
Those outings happen for everybody.
Sure.
What you can't let happen is what he did when he got into the dugout, and that was punching the dugout wall in frustration the day before. And I don't believe these were padded walls because he broke his hand, his left hand. So I guess not his throwing hand, but still broke his hand.
I mean, yeah, he is
on the 60-day IL.
You're on the 60 now. Like, it doesn't.
You're looking at like a mid-September return at best, and you just cannot have that, my friend.
You know the emotions of underperformance. It happens to all of us. What is the best way? What's the best way to take out your frustration if you're a pitcher? Or
take a bat to the old water.
Take a bat to the water cooler. I mean, these days you need to take it down the tunnel. Don't want anybody else to get hit with any shrapnel. You don't want to hurt anybody else.
I've got it.
What is it?
I've got the solution. Every ballpark in Major League Baseball should install a rage room.
Rage room.
Right in the tunnel.
But can you get, you've been to a rage room. Can you get hurt in there? I think you can.
No.
No?
I mean, dude, you're geared up, head to toe. You got the helmet with the mask.
By the time you,
broken glass everywhere.
By the time you get all set up, you're probably not even mad anymore. You know what I mean? Like, it's like fake rage at that point. I get it, man. I've kicked the hell out of a trash can before. I've definitely thrown a glove. The old glove throw is pretty good.
Yeah.
The glove throw to the bench is pretty good. Can't really
find
hurt
a way
yourself.
Like, I don't even like the throwing the bats, because now the bat boys got to go out there and pick them all up. You didn't do anything wrong.
Clean up your messes.
But I think a rage room would solve a lot of problems.
They actually got a shot. Somebody got a picture of Colton Wong squaring up, or Colton Brewer squaring up against the wall, and it's like him after he hit the wall. And yeah, again, not your throwing hand, but stand dude, and now you're out. A really frustrating. It was a frustrating season in general for the Chicago Cubs. I mean, the expectations were through the roof. They have thoroughly, thoroughly disappointed in every way. And now this is a little bit more of a lighthearted story, but a brilliant one.
D.D. Mega Doo-Doo.
Polly actually brought this to my attention today. I had not seen. The Yankees did a bobblehead day. Now, bobbleheads are great. My kids absolutely love bobbleheads. We have a whole collection. And they, honestly, they're like behind a, like a lattice, like you can see through it.
Right.
But we don't want to play with them. I don't know why, but for kids, not going to be worth anything. You know what I mean? But right. They're there.
I think a lot of people, everybody thinks their bobblehead's going to be worth something someday.
Yeah, I mean, maybe like the Shohei bobblehead and things like that. But this one, I think, well, you have to look it up on eBay while I'm telling the story. But the Yankees did a giveaway, and they did George Costanza.
It's the first bobblehead. Like, we've gotten bobbleheads from work. I bought tickets on bobblehead night, and it's cool to get it. I've never felt like I need to go online and buy this bobblehead.
This one, maybe.
I might buy this one.
How much is it on eBay right now? But they did a Costanza bobblehead giveaway at Yankee Stadium, and it was phenomenal. Obviously, you remember from Seinfeld when he got the job with the Yankees, and he all of a sudden becomes very smart,
He's
teaching the guys how to hit home runs and making moves and making decisions within the organization. It was brilliant.
Bro, they're going for like $200 a pop.
$200? Okay, I was actually thinking they'd be a little bit more. $200 is doable for a Costanza bobblehead. So that was our doo-doo this. I think
Jason
that's a really
Alexander,
good idea.
He wrote wrote, I'm so glad Bobblehead George was a fan fave. No, I don't get anything for it except joy that 35 years after putting on those glasses, people are still enjoying our work. The show is a gift from you to us. From us to you?
Us to you, maybe?
Yeah. Thanks for keeping it alive.
He is brilliant. And one of
That's
the best,
one of the best giveaways I've ever seen.
And one of the best characters in television history. If we were to do it here, because we do the players, and I love some of the creativity they've had. Like, Joe and his dog was really good.
Yeah.
Nandalorian is really, really cool with Fernando. I love it. Who would be, like, the San Diegan that we did? Like, who would it be? It has to be from pop culture. So maybe like,
no,
it would be, wouldn't it? It'd be Ron Burgundy.
Yeah.
You stay classy, San Diego.
It's unfortunate that that's...
I'm Ron Burgundy?
That's absolutely accurate. Now, there are other San Diegans that would be amazing. Tony Hawk would be incredible.
That'd be cool.
It'd be a really cool, but he's not really pop culture. He's an athlete, you know? So from pop culture, San Diego's pop culture, they would probably
Eddie
do...
Eddie Vedder.
See, he doesn't even claim us
I
at
know,
all.
I know.
Like, I think they skipped us on the last tour. Like, as much as we want him to claim San Diego, he really...
Please claim us.
He really doesn't. He just doesn't, dude, at all. He's like, yeah, Chicago, Seattle, anywhere but San Diego. Like, I think they skipped us again. So, yeah, I think it would probably be... No, you can't do Blink. One of the guys is a Dodger fan. There's no way. Pop culture. It's got to be Anchorman. It's got to be. I'm not saying I want it. I'm just saying that's what it would be. It'd be a Ron Burgundy bobblehead.
I'd probably buy this Costanza one before the Ron Burgundy one.
I think I would too. I'm very over Anchorman. Very, very over it. All right, coming up in about what?
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, speaking of Pearl Jam.
Oh, we got Tim Flannery joining us at 8, but next we'll talk to our pal In Season Sammy. We haven't really talked about the All-Stars yet, and our beloved 5 All-Stars going to Arlington, Texas. Excited to talk to In-Season Sammy next. He'll join us, and we will chop it up with him and thank him again for his service on Friday. We'll be right back. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. All right, welcome back. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Happy Monday to you, Benny. He's actually, I think, on his way back from Santa Barbara right now. He'll be back tomorrow. Got Tim Flannery joining us at 8. But right now, after traffic, we're going to check in with our pal In-Season Sammy Levitt. All right, and joining us on the line now is our beloved, beloved Sammy Levitt. Sammy, how are you, pal?
Good morning, Woodsy. Good morning, Paul. Good to be with
Hi,
you.
Sammy.
Looking forward to hearing the 2 hours with Tim Flannery.
Oh, yeah.
I've been doing the last couple of days with the Padres celebrating that 1984 team. I've been doing some research on that team and pretty incredible team and the way they came back in the NLCS to go to the World Series and all that. So I'm looking forward to hearing those 2 hours coming out.
Well, there's nobody that tells a story like Flan, and we're really looking forward to it too on a Monday. But I want to do, you know, obviously Sammy dropped the last two games after one of the greatest nights at Petco Park that we've, I mean, there's been so many of them this year. Friday night was just an elite night. You know, they should, it's one of those things we've been saying kind of regularly lately. If you have to continue to walk teams off, it means you might have done something wrong. And they did. I mean, he coughed up a 5-run lead and had to come back and win it. But what a moment it was for Manny. What a moment it was for the entire team. It was just incredible on Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, what do you even say about that one inning alone, right? The roller coaster it was and losing the lead and having to bring Suarez in, which I'm with you has happened way too often where the Padres have had these big leads late and then somehow have to go get Suarez and bring him in on 3 days, you know, in a row. And it didn't go well. And, you know, I don't think that's the fault of Robert. You know, he's pitching 3 days in a row. And I thought came in a really tough spot there, you know, although he did give up the 2 home runs. And then obviously they did what they've been doing at home for a while, and that is just find ways and show fight and show grit and rise to the occasion. I mean, obviously the Manny home run was special and was unbelievable, but how about Jerickson Profar?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought his leadoff home run in that ninth inning, it totally changed the tenor of that inning and quickly. Number one, sort of made you breathe for a second and not necessarily forget about what happened at the top of the inning. But really, I thought in that moment made you feel like they were going to win the game. And I think something I talked to a lot of people about at the ballpark on Saturday, and I do think this is a real credit to this team and a real thing with this team, you really don't feel like they are out of any game, and they are out of any game late. Like, I felt like a lot of people in that ballpark and on the media side of things really, really felt like even when they got down in the ninth, like, we looked at the part of the order coming up, and you felt like they had a real shot that they were still come back and find a way to win it. And quite frankly, on Saturday night, I was sort of shocked they didn't find a way, right? Because it was right there. I've seen them, especially at home, and especially lately, just find the big hit in so many situations. So Saturday, it was almost surprising. They couldn't get that one big hit. And then yesterday, look, the final score of the game was not really indicative of the game that it was. I mean,
All right, we're losing. Submarine Sammy is back.
Sammy, we're going to try to get you on a different
Try to get him on the Zoom link or something.
Yeah. Give me 1 second, Sammy.
No, he's right. I absolutely thought Saturday night. I wasn't even really worried. I was more shocked that they didn't end up tying that game because that's the brand of baseball they've been playing this year. And while it's exciting to watch and it makes my blood pressure go through the roof. It's not a sustainable way to play, but man, I'll take that. You know, it was one of those losses on Saturday where I thought, all right, I mean, you know, you battled your ass off, and sometimes it's just not your night. Didn't get the big hit when you needed it, but I didn't mind that one so much. Yesterday I did. Yesterday I did not like that game at all, and just could not get anything going offensively against Ryan Nelson. And so, yeah, but
And Friday was so crazy. I saw it was the first time in MLB history that there was a grand slam,
yep,
a go-ahead home run,
yep,
a game-tying home run, yep, and a walk-off home run.
It was incredible.
In one inning.
It was incredible. Sammy, you were there. You were on the scene. Now, it was a long day for you because you had to work the morning show because of the loads.
Yeah, and he's dialing into the Zoom.
Oh, he's dialing into the Zoom right now.
Just wait a minute, and it'll be worth it because we'll have a much, much better connection.
Yeah, there. Scuba Sammy is what they're calling him in the chat.
Scuba Sammy.
Yeah, it's underwater.
Yeah. Well.
No?
He's joining. I'm waiting for him to turn on his audio.
Just wait. That's fine.
We got no problem. We're just hanging out.
Everyone get a little breather.
There he is.
Samuel.
Yes.
Oh, hey,
so
how you
better,
doing?
Buddy. So much better.
Okay, good. I'm so sick of this cell service inside my apartment. I'm just over it. So it is what it is. There's about a 5 foot spot in my kitchen, and I swear to you, it's not like I'm standing in this spot where I have literally no service
at all.
So there is something about this apartment. I'm gonna have to stop doing it from here. I mean,
you're fine. We're just gonna do the Zoom link, even if you're just on the phone. It's just the audio. That's fine. You sound crystal clear right now.
Okay, great. Just to wrap up, I wasn't, you know, saying anything super groundbreaking, but look, the game on Sunday, obviously, I think it was better pitch than, you know, what the final score was. But look, for as good as the win was on Friday, and it was awesome, and it spoke volumes about what this team has been and their ability to rise to the moment, rise to the occasion, show grit, show fight. They have certainly given you all of that and have shown they are a quite different group from what they were a year ago. Look, I still thought it was at least a little disappointing to still not find a way to win the series. And look, credit to the Diamondbacks. I mean, they had a brutal loss on Friday and came back and found a way to win the next two. So, you know, look, am I going to go crazy over it? No, considering how well they played lately. But I will say this, and I think it goes back to, you know, what I said filling in for you guys on Friday morning, and that's, I just feel there are really, you know, two things that are important for this team right now in the next week or so. Number one, just finishing this first half on a high note. And I'm not saying you got to go win the next five in a row, but, you know, winning 3 out of 5 against two good teams, that would be a really nice way to finish the half. And I just think for this group, the way they're constructed right now, the injuries, the guys they're missing, you just have to avoid letting two games become a skid. Two losses in a row is not that big of a deal, but, you know, two turning into 3, 4, 5, that's where things could get pretty tricky pretty quickly for this team. And look, we sort of had that conversation last week when they lost the final game in Boston and the first one in Texas And they found a way to, you know, not allow that to become a skid. I just think this team desperately needs to avoid the quote unquote skid right now.
I do feel, talking to Sammy Levitt here on Ben and Woods this morning, I do feel that this team, and we're certainly not the only team in baseball that feels this way, but I do feel that we are on constantly the razor's edge, right? I just constantly feel like, oh God, oh God. And they've proven me wrong so many times. And you know me, I'm not the most negative. Oh, here we go again. I'm not that person. I like when they win. I love when they win. I celebrate the wins. I celebrate the effort. I celebrate all of it. You know, I love this team. I really do. But I do feel circumstances beyond our control, Sammy, that they're on the razor's edge right now. I mean, you got a beleaguered bullpen that did not have a good series at all against Arizona. And now, you know, potentially Adam Mazur on the bump tomorrow against the Seattle Mariners. They got some really, really good arms coming in. It's precarious right now is the word that I would use.
Yeah, I totally understand it, and I'm with you. I mean, for as well as they've played as of late, it does feel a little bit like that because of the injuries they're dealing with. And quite frankly, and it's almost a credit to them because of some of these guys that have contributed in such a major way, because of the Jerks and Profars, because of the Jackson Merrills, because of the Donovan Solanos, because of the Matt Waldrons and you know, Randy Vasquez. I mean, the last two starts have been really, really good.
Really good.
I know he got hit by the line drive in Boston, but he was really good before that half. The other day was really good again. And look, they have, to their credit, they have found a way to stay afloat through these injuries and, you know, through a rotation that has been banged up and through, you know, a bullpen that has been up and down aside from a couple of guys. Look, the bullpen, you know, on the road trip, they were awesome.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
you look at the two close games they won in Texas. The bullpen was actually fantastic for those two games. And on the road trip, they had a sub-1 ERA in 6 days, and it totally flipped in this series against the Diamondbacks. And obviously De Los Santos was sort of a big part of it, but there were other guys, you know, in that mix as well. And you're right, Woodsy. I still don't think, for as well as they've played, you know, and I don't mean to pour any cold water on it, but yeah, the margin for error still is, they still deal with these injuries. And as far as bullpen and rotation, look, you would assume at some point in the next month, there's going to be some help on the way one way or another. What that's going to cost the Padres, obviously, we have no idea who that's going to be. We obviously have no idea. But I'm with you. It still sort of feels like until there's some help on the way, yeah, it's going to be this thing where it's like staying afloat until you can get that help. And obviously, it sounds like there's a pretty good chance that the Xander, you know, may be back here soon. And that's, you know, the first piece of help back on the way. But I'm with you, Woodsy. The margin for error is still not very big. But to their credit, they have found a way to more than stay afloat.
They have. And like I said, I mean, there's a bunch of teams right now on that razor's edge as well. Guys are injured or not performing. You know, the Mets are one of those teams. The Diamondbacks are one of those teams. The Giants are one of those teams. We were just talking about it in the last 10 games. I mean, if you look at it, go to the National League, go to standings and look at last 10. Yeah. It's mediocre as you can get. I mean, it's 5-5, 5-5, 5-5, 4-6, 4-6 Padres, Cardinals, and Diamondbacks, the only teams with a winning record over the last 10 games. And it's just bananas to see. So it in some sense, makes it even a little bit more frustrating because it's like it's literally there for the taking. You just got to go get it. But do they have the pieces? The pieces they do have, though, Sammy, five representatives going to the All-Star game in Arlington. Very, very happy.
The whole outfield.
Proud. The whole outfield is sent. The area we all sat in here and said, oh, boy, they are toast in the outfield. Well, they're all-star. So, again, nobody knows anything, Sammy, but I'm very happy for these guys. Saw a lot of Dodger fans upset that Luis Arraez is getting in. For me, the hit leader should always go to the All-Star game because hitting is very,
right,
very, very, very hard. It's very hard to do, and he's got more than anybody. That's a no-brainer for me. I don't care what his war is. I like war. It's fine, but he's the hit leader. He goes to the All-Star game. That's just how it works.
Yeah, I agree with you. And look, obviously the numbers for Luis overall the last handful of weeks haven't been as stellar as what they were. But you still look at it. The guy's hitting what? As of yesterday, 314, 315. I mean, when a guy's hitting like that, and you're right, the hits leader in his league, I'm with you on that. And look, there are just some remarkable stories from this team going to the All-Star game. Obviously, Profar is right there. Maybe the best story of this All-Star game, which is incredible. And the Jackson Merrill story is right there with them. I mean, you know, I don't know if you guys read off that list that AJ Cassavell put out of players that, you know, in the last 40 years have been younger than Jackson Merrill to appear in an All-Star game. It's insane. Like, it's greatness. It's Hall of Famers. It is, when you consider his journey to this point, the limited amount of experience in the upper levels of the minor leagues, learning center field, a place he had never played. Done. It is simply remarkable and is a huge credit to him. And even Robert Suarez, guys, I mean, this was a guy who the Padres signed after pitching in Japan. And I don't know that, you know, we all knew when he first got here, really, you know, what he was going to be in the major leagues, and obviously has a great 2022 and a stellar postseason. And, you know, last year had his ups and downs and takes the role of Josh Hader. And I don't care about Friday in this conversation, has been a rock, an absolute rock 100%. For the bullpen. And you talk about deserving all-stars. He is right there as far as guys who absolutely deserve to be there. And even Tatis, I mean, now that we know about the leg and basically that he's been playing on a compromised leg for, you know, it sounds like months. It's pretty impressive that he did what he did considering that. So I think all of these guys have their own sort of unique and impressive journeys to this point. But, you know, in particular, I mean, Profar, Merrill, Suarez, I mean, they're just great stories. And
Sammy, you know, I love you.
Thank you, Sammy.
You
so you're getting much, played Sammy. Off. We're we love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. All right, welcome back. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Happy Monday to you, Benny. Still, he's actually, I think, on his way back from Santa Barbara right now. He'll be back tomorrow. Got Tim Flannery joining us at 8. And but right now, after traffic, we're going to check in with our pal in-season Sammy Levitt. All right, and joining us on the line now is our beloved, beloved Sammy Levitt. Sammy, how are you, pal?
Good morning, Woodsy. Good morning, Paul. Good to be with
Hi,
you.
Sammy. I'm
looking forward to hearing the 2 hours with Tim Flannery.
I've
been doing the last couple of days with the Padres celebrating that 1984 team. I've been doing some research on that team, and pretty incredible team, and the way they came back in the NLCS to go to the World Series and all that. So I'm looking forward to hearing those 2 hours coming out.
Well, there's nobody that tells a story like Flan, and we're really looking forward to it too on a Monday. But I want to do, you know, obviously Sammy dropped the last two games after one of the greatest nights at Petco Park that we've, I mean, there's been so many of them this year. Friday night was just an elite night. You know, they should, it's one of those things we've been saying kind of regularly lately. If you have to continue to walk teams off, it means you might have done something wrong. And they did. I mean, he coughed up a 5-run lead and had to come back and win it. But what a moment it was for Manny. What a moment it was for the entire team. It was just incredible on Friday night.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, I mean, what do you even say about that one inning alone, right? The roller coaster it was, and losing the lead and having to bring Suarez in, which I'm with you has happened way too often where the Padres have had these big leads late and then somehow have to go get Suarez and bring him in on 3 days, you know, in a row. And it didn't go well. And, you know, I don't think that's the fault of Robert. You know, he's pitching 3 days in a row. And I thought came in a really tough spot there, you know, although he did give up the two home runs. And then obviously they did what they've been doing at home for a while, and that is just find ways and show fight and show grit and rise to the occasion. I mean, obviously the Manny home run was special and was unbelievable, but how about Jerkson Profar?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought his leadoff home run in that ninth inning, it totally changed the tenor of that inning and quickly, number one, sort of made you breathe for a second and not necessarily forget about what happened at the top of the inning. But really, I thought in that moment, made you feel like they were going to win the game. And I think something I talked to a lot of people about at the ballpark on Saturday, and I do think this is a real credit to this team and a real thing with this team. You really don't feel like they are out of any game, and they are out of any game late. Like, I felt like a lot of people in that ballpark and on the media side of things really felt like even when they got down in the ninth, like, we looked at the part of the order coming up, and you felt like they had a real shot that they were still come back and find a way to win it. And quite frankly, on Saturday night, I was sort of shocked they didn't find a way, right? Because it was right there. I've seen them, especially at home, and especially lately, just find the big hit in so many situations. So Saturday, it was almost surprising. They couldn't get that one big hit. And then yesterday, look, the final score of the game was not really indicative of the game that it was. I mean, it's super well pitched, right, for the most part. And so,
We're losing. Submarine Sammy is back.
Sammy, we're going to try to get you on a different...
Try to get him on the Zoom link or something.
Yeah. Give me 1 second, Sammy.
No, he's right. I absolutely thought Saturday night... In fact, I wasn't even really worried. I was more shocked that they didn't end up tying that game because that's the brand of baseball they've been playing this year. And while it's exciting to watch and it makes my blood pressure go through the roof, it's not a sustainable way to play. But man, I'll take that. You know, it was one of those losses on Saturday where I thought, all right, I mean, you know, you battled your ass off, and sometimes it's just not your night. Didn't get the big hit when you needed it, but I didn't mind that one so much. Yesterday I did not like that game at all, and just could not get anything going offensively against Ryan Nelson. And so, yeah, but
and Friday was so crazy. I saw it was the first time in MLB history that there was a grand slam,
yep,
a go-ahead home run,
yep,
a game-tying home run, yep, and a walk-off home run.
It was incredible.
In one inning.
It was incredible. Sammy, you were there. You were on the scene. Now, it was a long day for you because you had to work the morning show because of the loads.
Yeah, and he's dialing into the Zoom.
Oh, he's dialing into the Zoom right now.
Just wait a minute, and it'll be worth it because we'll have a much, much better connection.
Yeah, there. Scuba Sammy is what they're calling him in the chat.
Scuba Sammy.
Yeah, it's underwater.
Yeah. Well...
No,
he's joining. I'm waiting for him to turn on his audio.
Just wait. That's fine.
We got no problem. We're just hanging out.
Everyone, get a little breather.
There he is.
Samuel.
Yes.
Oh, hey,
so much
how you
better,
doing,
buddy? So much better.
Okay, good. I'm so sick of this cell service inside my apartment. I'm just over it. So it is what it is. There's about a 5 foot spot in my kitchen, and I swear to you, it's not like I'm standing in this spot where I have literally no service
at all.
So there is something about this apartment. I'm gonna have to stop doing it from here. I mean,
you're fine. We're just gonna do the Zoom link, even if you're just on the phone. It's just the audio. That's fine. You sound crystal clear right now.
Okay, great. Just to wrap up, I wasn't, you know, saying anything super groundbreaking, but look, the game on Sunday, obviously, I think it was better pitched than, you know, what the final score was. But look, for as good as the win was on Friday, and it was awesome, and it spoke volumes about what this team has been and their ability to rise to the moment, rise to the occasion, show grit, show fight. They have certainly given you all of that and have shown they are a quite different group from what they were a year ago. Look, I still thought it was at least a little disappointing to still not find a way to win the series. And look, credit to the Diamondbacks. I mean, they had a brutal loss on Friday and came back and found a way to win the next two. So, you know, look, am I going to go crazy over it? No, considering how well they played lately. But I will say this, and I think it goes back to, you know, what I said filling in for you guys on Friday morning, and that's, I just feel there are really, you know, two things that are important for this team right now in the next week or so. Number one, just finishing this first half on a high note. And I'm not saying you got to go win the next five in a row, but, you know, winning 3 out of 5 against two good teams, that would be a really nice way to finish the half. And I just think for this group, the way they're constructed right now, the injuries, the guys they're missing, you just have to avoid letting two games become a skid. Two losses in a row is not that big of a deal, but, you know, two turning into 3, 4, 5, that's where things could get pretty tricky pretty quickly for this team. And look, we sort of had that conversation last week when they lost the final game in Boston and the first one in Texas, and they found a way to
you know, not allow that to become a skid. I just think this team desperately needs to avoid the quote unquote skid right now.
I do feel, talking to Sammy Levitt here on Ben and Woods this morning, I do feel that this team, and we're certainly not the only team in baseball that feels this way, but I do feel that we are on constantly the razor's edge, right? I just constantly feel like, oh God, oh God. And they've proven me wrong so many times. And you know me, I'm not the most negative. Oh, here we go again. I'm not that person. I like when they win. I love when they win. I celebrate the wins. I celebrate the effort. I celebrate all of it. You know, I love this team. I really do. But I do feel circumstances beyond our control, Sammy, that they're on the razor's edge right now. I mean, you got a beleaguered bullpen that did not have a good series at all against Arizona. And now, you know, potentially Adam Mazur on the bump tomorrow against the Seattle Mariners. They got some really, really good arms coming in. It's precarious right now is the word that I would use.
Yeah, I totally understand it, and I'm with you. I mean, for as well as they've played as of late, it does feel a little bit like that because of the injuries they're dealing with. And quite frankly, and it's almost a credit to them because of some of these guys that have contributed in such a major way, because of the Jerks and Profars, because of the Jackson Merrills, because of the Donovan Solanos, because of the Matt Waldrons and you know, Randy Vasquez. I mean, the last two starts have been really, really good.
Really good.
I know he got hit by the line drive in Boston, but he was really good before that half. The other day was really good again. And look, they have, to their credit, they have found a way to stay afloat through these injuries and, you know, through a rotation that has been banged up and through, you know, a bullpen that has been up and down aside from a couple of guys. Look, the bullpen, you know, on the road trip, they were awesome.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
you look at the two close games they won in Texas. The bullpen was actually fantastic for those two games. And on the road trip, they had a sub-1 ERA in 6 days, and it totally flips in this series against the Diamondbacks. And obviously De Los Santos was sort of a big part of it, but there were other guys, you know, in that mix as well. And you're right, Woodsy. I still don't think, for as well as they've played, you know, and I don't mean to pour any cold water on it, but yeah, the margin for error still is they still deal with these injuries. And as far as bullpen and rotation, look, you would assume at some point in the next month, there's going to be some help on the way one way or another. What that's going to cost the Padres, obviously, we have no idea who that's going to be. We obviously have no idea. But I'm with you. It still sort of feels like until there's some help on the way, yeah, it's going to be this thing where it's like staying afloat until you can get that help. And obviously, it sounds like there's a pretty good chance that the Xander, you know, may be back here soon. And that's, you know, the first piece of help back on the way. But I'm with you, Woodsy. The margin for error is still not very big. But to their credit, they have found a way to more than stay afloat.
They have. And like I said, I mean, there's a bunch of teams right now on that razor's edge as well. Guys are injured or not performing. You know, the Mets are one of those teams. The Diamondbacks are one of those teams. The Giants are one of those teams. We were just talking about it in the last 10 games. I mean, if you look at it, go to the National League, go to standings and look at last 10. Yeah. It's as mediocre as you can get. I mean, it's 5-5, 5-5, 5-5, 4-6, 4-6 Padres, Cardinals, and Diamondbacks, the only teams with a winning record over the last 10 games. And it's just bananas to see. So it in some sense, makes it even a little bit more frustrating because it's like it's literally there for the taking. You just got to go get it. But do they have the pieces? The pieces they do have, though, Sammy, five representatives going to the All-Star game in Arlington. Very, very happy.
The whole outfield.
Proud. The whole outfield is sent. The area we all sat in here and said, oh, boy, they are toast in the outfield. Well, they're all-stars. So, again, nobody knows anything, Sammy, but I'm very happy for these guys. Saw a lot of Dodger fans upset that Luis Arraez is getting in. For me, the hit leader should always go to the All-Star game because hitting is very,
right,
very, very, very hard. It's very hard to do, and he's got more than anybody. That's a no-brainer for me. I don't care what his war is. I like war. It's fine, but he's the hit leader. He goes to the All-Star game. That's just how it works.
Yeah, I agree with you. And look, obviously the numbers for Luis overall the last handful of weeks haven't been as stellar as what they were, but you still look at it. The guy's hitting what? As of yesterday, 314, 315. I mean, when a guy's hitting like that, and you're right, the hits leader in his league. I'm with you on that. And look, there are just some remarkable stories from this team going to the All-Star game. Obviously, Profar is right there. Maybe the best story of this All-Star game, which is incredible. And the Jackson Merrill story is right there with them. I mean, you know, I don't know if you guys read off that list that AJ Cassavell put out of players that, you know, in the last 40 years have been younger than Jackson Merrill to appear in an All-Star game. It's insane. Like, it's greatness. It's Hall of Famers. It is, when you consider his journey to this point, the limited amount of experience in the upper levels of the minor leagues, learning center field, a place he had never played, it is simply remarkable and is a huge credit to him. And even Robert Suarez, guys, I mean, this was a guy who the Padres signed after pitching in Japan. And I don't know that, you know, we all knew when he first got here, really, you know, what he was going to be in the major leagues, and obviously has a great 2022 and a stellar postseason. And, you know, last year had his ups and downs and takes the role of Josh Hader. And I don't care about Friday in this conversation, has been a rock, an absolute rock 100%. For the bullpen. And you talk about deserving all-stars. He is right there as far as guys who absolutely deserve to be there. And even Tatis, I mean, now that we know about the leg and basically that he's been playing on a compromised leg for, you know, it sounds like months. It's pretty impressive that he did what he did considering that. So I think all of these guys have their own sort of unique and impressive journeys to this point. But, you know, in particular, I mean, Profar, Merrill, Suarez. I mean, they're just great stories. And
Sammy, you know, I love you.
Thank you, Sammy. You're so getting much, played Sammy. Off. We love you. We love you. We love you. We love you.